the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
We turn our attention to rugby. Alan Quinlan, good morning to you.
Morning, Adrian. How are you?
We're looking for a bit of light relief here because we've no, huge rugby of that importance to talk about just in a minute. But some good games upcoming, obviously, and the squad named during the week, Quinny, the six uncapped players are in. Another layer of young players who are going to be in training as well next week. You've Harry Byrne, James Lowe, Finian Witcherly, and more as well, maybe, whose time is coming and coming very soon. Did it feel, and feel free to shoot this down, like a changing of the guard for you in terms of the youth that's coming through now?
I always said from the start, going back a few months, that Italy and France probably weren't two games that you could maneuver too much and bring in too many young players. I think obviously if the former players was good, they'd put their hand up, they'd get involved. But I think the Nations Cup there's more of an opportunity to maybe make some changes and bring some players in. There's a core group of very experienced, good players who can do a job against Italy. I think in normal circumstances, if the Six Nations was running normally, you'd make a big number of changes for the Italian game. But I think Andy Farrell will want to try and get as close to the team who's going to start against France and Paris the week after out in that game. So it's good to see the young players like Craig Casey's getting in there, and Harry Byrne is trained with the squad before. He's a very exciting prospect, and Finian Witcherly and of course James Lowe will probably be involved in November as well. So it's good to see those young players going to train with them, and I think there's a lot of benefit in bringing in young players and having them in that environment. It's something that didn't happen in my time too much because squad was announced and that was it really. And in the last number of years, I think Joe Schmidt brought a lot of young guys in who had that potential, and it gives them a little bit of confidence and self-belief. And when they're actually going to be selected or in line to be selected. So I think that's a good thing. There's a couple of injuries and a couple of concerns. No Tadhg Furlong, Kilcoyne is out as well. Interestingly, of course, the big ones are John Cooney and Devon Toner not being in the squad. So there's a fair few talking points there, but by and large, it's to be expected. It's good to see Jack Carty back. I think he obviously this time last year he was in the World Cup squad and ahead of Ross Byrne. So it's good to see him back in the squad as well.
Yeah, John Cooney. Then, quite as soon as you mentioned him, what a roller coaster it's been, and generally on the downward spiral over the last few weeks. Obviously, been dropped for the Pro 14 final, but he's a player that's been obviously nominated for the Player of the Year. He has been in exceptional form over the last while, that to the point where people have been talking about him as a possible starting scrum half for Ireland, but people have just lost faith with him at club and country very quickly. He's a guy who's 30, so it's not as if it's a kick in the arse that he needs at this stage. He needs to be involved. I'm sure he's feeling pretty sorry for himself over the last couple of days. But regardless of all of that, is it the right call that he's not included?
I think if you're picking players on form, which is always debatable because some guys get picked and they're not in form, the experienced internationals sometimes, they're brought into various different squads in the last number of years on the back of reputations, and that frustrates a lot of players. So I'm sure, look, John Cooney, by his own admission, probably would say that his form wasn't the best since the rugby came back in August, and he probably pays the price for team deficiencies in Ulster, that they didn't play that well, and being beaten by Connacht. I suppose they had a very good win in Edinburgh, but the change made at half time with Matheson coming on and then not starting the final and stuff, has it an effect on that selection? So it's a harsh one. But Gibson Park has played really well, and I think Marmion has shown that he's back in form, and he's had a lot of injuries in the last couple of years, and there's real ability in Marmion to play a high-tempo game as well. So it's tough on John Cooney, but you could argue that Conor Murray, didn't finish out the season. That semi-final against Leinster came in for some criticism, not with the amount of box kicking, but probably the accuracy and just his overall performance. But it's a tough one for John Cooney to take, but you know, I think Gibson Park and Marmion are rewarded. Murray is always going to get picked because, you know, in fairness, what he's done and what his ability is, but the other two are rewarded for their form, really.
Yeah, so on that question then, is Murray still the, like, who are your matchday nines? Is Murray still the starting nine, and how much of that is on reputation?
It's difficult. I think, you know, there's a balance between rewarding players who have been there, and you know, Conor Murray has been world class in the last couple of years, albeit the last year he hasn't. He had that neck injury and he didn't hit the ground running since he came back. He's had some very good performances. He played really well in that first Leinster game, that first game back. So, of course, you can still do it. And he's a top quality player. So I think he's still the person in the driving seat. If they get a good performance against Italy and he plays well, you know, he starts against France, going to Paris and stuff like that. So there's way more pressure on him, way more scrutiny on his performances. And that's what you've got to deal with at this level. And I think until Ireland get a consistent run of wins going and get that feel-good factor back in, you know, there will be scrutiny on Conor's performance. And I think he does probably start against Italy, and that's what Andy Farrell will go with.
In terms of trusting some of the untested players, Alan, one point that's kind of been made with regards to Munster this week has been Ben Healy and Gordon Darcy writing on Wednesday that Munster need to get Ben Healy to 50 caps as quick as they can. And is this something that perhaps Irish rugby as a whole should be looking at, that the trust and the rocky road that comes from your first couple of dozen caps is natural, and it's even more the case at provincial level?
Yeah, look, I think he does need to play more. We've got to see him. We you know, he kicked superbly, and I said this last Monday. He kicked, the two kicks were brilliant. Some his overall play wasn't pristine and or superb. I think some of the passing was inaccurate, and he looked a little bit nervy. But you only can see how good players are at this level when they play, you know, and they get opportunities. So you don't want to make changes for the sake of it. But he's someone that hopefully Munster now will give him opportunities, and Jack Crowley as well, and they'll get a chance to see young players who perform very well at underage level and performed. Jake Flannery is another one. So they have a couple of players that hopefully they can give more opportunities to. But I think Ben Healy is probably ahead of the other two. So give him a chance now, let him play in 7 or 8 or 10 games and see what he's like. And hopefully he can build on that confidence, because, you know, what he did last weekend will be massive for his confidence. But Leinster have probably done it more so in the last number. I've always said this as well, you know, don't play the young players or put in a young guy in the second string team. Try and get him in there with the internationals. Like Ben Healy, if he starts tomorrow against Edinburgh, you know, he's going to be playing beside D'Alinda and Farrell, Murray possibly on the inside of him. So you want to try and give him that exposure with you know, with the frontline players as much as possible. But it's something that Leinster have probably done in better fashion than some of the other provinces in the last number of years. Regarding doing that with Ireland, throwing someone in, an uncapped player, for example, I put Ryan Baird into the starting team. I think he's that good. Mm. He's that athletic. He's that powerful. Put him in there. Give him a start. Don't hold him back. You know, Ronan Kelleher came into the Six Nations. He was a young player. And in fairness, Larmour's come in the last number of years. There's been a number of young players have come into the Irish squad. When we won the Grand Slam in 18, there was probably, you know, 4 or 5, Levy, James Ryan, Porter, Larmour. These guys got opportunities. Yeah, Stockdale as well. So, you know, you can't accuse Joe Schmidt at the time of not giving youth its opportunity. So it goes in cycles. So it just has the feeling on that we're kind of on that next cycle now, that we need to try and get some new blood into the squad, evolve a little bit, see what these young players can bring differently, and enthusiasm. And you always want a blend of experience and grit, if you like. And, you know, one of the question marks about the Irish team is, are they too nice? You know, particularly when we play England, are we, you know, confrontational enough, aggressive enough, and maybe we need to change a little bit the way we play when we come up against the bigger teams. But, you know, Ryan Baird is someone, Will Connors could come into contention as well. So hopefully that happens. But as I said, Italy and France are not two games to mix and match too much and take too many chances. I know you could argue it's Italy at home in the Aviva, but I think because of the nature of the way the season has gone and these games, you know, Ireland won't have played for 7 months, 6 or 7 months, that you want to try and, you know, there will be a little bit of thought as to going to Paris the week after and trying to get your strongest team out.
And gun to your head, if you had to start an uncapped player outside of Ryan Baird and give them a real chance, who would it be? Like, is it just Ryan Baird? Is he the only new introduction for these back-to-back games?
Yeah, he's the one that kind of jumps out. I think Will Connors is the other one. But in fairness, Josh van der Fleer is, you know, he's kind of responded and played superbly. He's a fantastic athlete. So I think the only one I would start is Ryan Baird. I think if you look at the back three of Conwell, Stockdale, Larmour, Shane Daly and Hugo Keenan, a part of me thinks Keenan could be an option on the wing, you know, that you could put Larmour full back and Conway and Keenan could be on the wing. Jacob Stockdale hasn't played that well, but I think it's probably worth giving him a chance to rebuild himself a little bit and give him a little bit of confidence again. But outside of Ryan Baird, I think, you know, maybe Keenan has a chance.
On him, Quinny, on Ryan Baird, like, everybody got to have a look at him when Leinster were far behind against Saracens in the Heineken Cup quarter-final. And, like, Jesus, I know I left that game. Obviously, you're pretty disappointed, but the excitement about Ryan Baird. What's that's an unbelievable endorsement from you this morning to be saying that he goes straight into the starting 15 on this Ireland team. What's this guy's potential? Like, are we talking about, like, Paul O'Connell potential, James Ryan potential, who's still obviously on the way up, but how good can this guy be?
Yeah, I think that kind of potential is there. I think he's incredibly athletic, quick. I suppose physically is the question mark at this stage when he's still so young. International level is a step up, you know, but I just think the enthusiasm, the energy he brings and the athleticism, his ball-playing ability. And I think Ireland should try and change a little bit the way they play with more tempo, play with more pace, and try and move the ball away from the breakdown a little bit quicker and play a high-tempo game because, you know, getting into arm wrestles with the bigger teams, we've struggled a little bit that the last couple of years. And so it's not change for the sake of it. I think Ian Henderson is still a, you know, wonderful player. But I try and put Ryan Baird in with James Ryan and see what you get. And, you know, if you had someone like Henderson coming off the bench, that's a brilliant impact as well. But look, I suspect in a little bit they'll go for the experience. And, you know, Henderson and James Ryan are still a brilliant partnership. But I just love to see him getting a chance from the start and let him learn now. Let him learn if he has to learn the hard way a little bit. Because I think he is one for the future. That's a very bright future for him. Obviously, as you go along, you're going to learn more about young players when they come in, how they cope, the temperament, the pressure, and you have less time and less space at international level, and probably the physicality is at a higher level. But he has the credentials to, you know, to deliver, I think. And you know, I don't know what his temperament is like as regards leadership, being vocal, being confrontational, and you know, having that ability to step forward. You know, you look at when Paul O'Connell came into the Munster squad first, you could see the kind of raw talent, the aggression, the hardness, the ability to learn all the time. And you could see that kind of natural leadership coming through, the way he wasn't daunted by the task. So, you know, one of the areas that holds back players is they get a little bit daunted and nervous and panicky as they go up the levels. And so it'll be a test for him. You know, if he was to go in and, you know, Italy would probably be a more comfortable game to play at home to start out. But, you know, you go to Paris, even though there's probably going to be no crowd there whatsoever, that's a different test and a different level. But I think he has the ability to step up. I wouldn't be jumping out of my seat and going crazy if he doesn't start, because I think the Nations Cup is is more of an opportunity to get some of those younger players and new players in who have performed for the provinces.
Yeah. One last one quickly, Quinny, before we let you away, on Joe Smith, been announced during the week. He was on with us a couple of months ago. You were on with him as well, and he was talking. It seemed to me at that time that the candle for coaching was still very much alight, but he's taken a different direction now, the new director of rugby and high performance at World Rugby. Are you surprised by that he hasn't gone back down the coaching route?
Part of me is and part of me isn't. I think, look, Joe is a real technician and thinker of the game, and he's always trying to innovate and view the game differently. And I suppose there is there's still a bit of frustration from him and from Irish fans about the World Cup and all that kind of stuff, and that still lingers. I would have loved to have seen him go back in and not prove himself, but just kind of put the naysayers back a little bit, because I think he's been our most successful ever Irish coach. The success he brought to Ireland was phenomenal. I think it ended disappointingly. And, you know, he probably would admit he made a few errors and mistakes in the final hurdle, if you like. But I think what's really important, I think, is how the game is governed. And I think we've had a lot of conversations about that in the last number of years. I think we all the time look to react, particularly from World Rugby, to certain patterns in the game, whether it be the laws. The breakdown is a very contentious issue. It's still kind of lots of debates about that. There's some rule kind of issues law issues that I have problems with, particularly around the maul, where players can stay bound and they can twist and swim around the maul, and it's taken it away as a real threat. I suppose, you know, there's loads of things that would frustrate when you watch a game. The kick retreat, now obstruction going back when you're chasing a ball, the way teams can block off teams. And these are all probably things that frustrated Joe when he was coaching Ireland, and the way teams probably nullified Ireland, particularly after winning that Grand Slam in 18. And, you know, I know some of the refereeing is not consistent. So there's continuing issues kind of that keep arising year after year. And I think there's an ambition for more rugby. And this is really shows that ambition, that they want to bring in an expert to kind of be able to look at all these contentious issues, to be able to work with the coaches. He's been there at the coalface, if you like. He's probably had frustrations with interpretations of laws, player welfare. You know, there's a lot of stuff on the table, lads, regarding the, you know, will there be an international league, global season, all this kind of stuff. So having someone with that much experience and an incredible rugby brain in that position, it now gives a real focus on someone who has been there, done that, and he's going to be to the forefront of a lot of these decisions in governing the game going forward, particularly around those things that I mentioned. So in one sense, I'm very disappointed that I would have loved to have seen him going back in coaching and getting back on the horse, if you like. But I think this is a really good move for the game, that someone who's so technical and you know, has been renowned with Leinster and Ireland in thinking outside the box and coming up with different sorts of patterns and power plays and has brought massive success. So I think it's a really good thing for World Rugby, and it's something that probably with COVID and everything that's happened, maybe that it suits Joe to do this, to stay in Dublin and work from here. And really, I'm sure he'll travel a lot when he's allowed, and he'll move around the world, and it'll be a good thing for the game, because, you know, to try and make the game safer, a better spectacle, manage all that player welfare stuff, they're very important issues that are ongoing. I think, you know, you see the modern day game, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere, and the way defences are just continually shutting down the opposition, and you look at some games and they're kind of hard to watch. So you know, looking at all those kind of issues going forward, you couldn't have a better man who's there. So I think it's a really good appointment from World Rugby.
Yeah, we'll watch with interest. Quinny, thanks a million.
Cheers, lads.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.